Yes, he will. Tomorrow night is one of those watershed sermons.
Yeah.
We'll be preaching all over the place tomorrow night. And I must tell you that I expect you to come in early. And let's pack the place. On Tuesday night, I was supposed to have had prayer for the sick. I have not forgotten you. So Tuesday night, we're going to see to it that that's done. And you're going to need prayer Tuesday night because I'm going to talk about witchcraft and how to protect yourself from it. I mean, you must understand that it's very real and that demons are loose in Birmingham. And I'm going to go to the Bible. Now, I'm not one of those tricksters that has a lot of gimmicks. I don't have anything but the Word of God. And that's all I need. And I'm going to turn to the Bible Tuesday night and tell you how to prevent devils from invading your privacy. You understand what I mean? Yeah. Yes, all right. That's Tuesday night. Tonight, I want to talk about how to be saved and know it. When you talk about being saved, I think Christians ought to understand what we mean. We mean two things, not one. And the two are not the same. When we talk about being saved, number one, we're talking about getting the victory over sin. That's one. Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call his name what? Jesus, for he shall save his people from their what? Sins. So we talk about being saved from sin. What do we mean by that? By being saved from sin, we mean escaping the domination of the devil. That's what we're talking about. You get another master in the here and the now. In Birmingham, when you're saved from sin, you simply get another master, another ruler. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about in one sense. In another sense, when you talk about being saved, you're talking about being delivered from this sinful environment at the coming of the Lord. When according to Thessalonians 4:16-17, we shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Now, mister, you're saved. You're out of here. So, we will begin the sermon by talking about getting a new master so that sin shall not have dominion over you. I guess I came here to tell you that there is not a sin on this planet that Christ can't eradicate, conquer, erase, cleanse, take away from anybody who wants to be delivered. Now I've got Bible for it, and I've got some human living examples for it. For instance, right here in this town, I was preaching a tent up here on Center Street, and two young men came and sat down in front of me every night. I told you this, but here comes in. This is the best place for it, right here. And they were as high as any kite as you've ever seen. They were high on crack, and they were high on liquor. One of them told me, we doctored up with two things so that you couldn't get through to us. And then they'd sit up there and test the power of the word. I want you to know that during that summer, this word penetrated the layer of cocaine, penetrated the fog of alcohol,
And one of those boys is graduating from the University of Minnesota, and some of you know him. His name is Dawkins. And he's been called to teach, to be a principal of a school in South Carolina and pastor the church. Don't tell me that what's got you is impossible for God. Now somebody's arguing already, but you don't know how long this thing's been with me. Honey, Jehovah does not consult history when he gets ready to perform a miracle. When he came up on old blind Bart, you call him Bartimaeus? I ain't got time to waste with Bartimaeus. I got a lot to say tonight. He came up on old Bart. He didn't say, "Hey, how long you been blind?" The disciples came to him and said, "Hey, this man's been blind from birth. Who sinned? His mama and his daddy." Nobody's interested in history but us. And that's why some of us are still in slavery. We have been buffaloed by history. We've been done in by how long I've been doing this thing. We've been done in by how strong this thing is in me. And we quit. We do like most of Joe Lewis's competition, his opponents. Some of y'all too young to remember Joe. But old Joe Lewis, sometimes when he'd get in the ring, the man would look at him and give up. And when he'd get up there, all Joe didn't have to hit him. If the wind from his fist went by, the man went out. But I'm not talking about Joe Lewis. I'm talking about some of y'all. You have been cowed. And that's what I mean by buffaloed. You've been cowed. The habit has now become your master. For some of you, it's a little old cigarette that the Bible talked about long before the Surgeon General of the United States talked about it. But now we got the government preaching Adventist doctrine on health. And that's one reason at age 72, I can't quit. Anytime we get the government preaching for us, are we supposed to shut up? I said, let me get back out here now. When I first came back, reading about that poison weed, folks said, "Oh, that old man doesn't preach in the gospel." Surgeon General came out and said, "Hey, you're committing suicide." You say, I gotta quit. Mm-hmm. Okay. I came here tonight to tell you that earth hath no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. You don't know a slave like a cocaine slave. If anybody is gone, he's gone. But I've heard of cases of men that were cured, not by some expensive rehabilitation center costing $23,000 for 5 weeks. They got cured listening to him. For the words, John 6:63, that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The word of God can cure addiction. I know. All right, let's get back to the theory of the thing. I just felt moved to tell you that. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, Jesus said. What did Jesus say about being saved? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, what you just heard me say is what Jesus just said. You come to me, all of you who are finding it hard to live for me, all you that labor, you're working hard, you've been trying to quit. Are you listening? A certain thing, labor, but you're still heavy laden, still loaded down, still a slave. That's what he's saying. He's not talking about you people who got a job. Come unto me, all you who labor, all you who got a job. That's what you thought. Lord doesn't care anything about your job. He's after your soul. So what he said is, come to me, all of you who are finding it hard to live for me. You're laboring, but in vain. You're still heavy laden, still loaded down, still got that old excess baggage. Jesus said, you know what your problem is? You came to the church, but you never got to me. You even came to the water and got baptized and never got to me. That's why you went down a dry devil and came up a wet one. He said, you gotta get to me. Some of you even got to the choir, but you never got to him. Singing all over the place and never found the Jesus that your lips praise. Some of you hit the usher board, never got to him. Come unto me. And that's how sin is dealt with, by him. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, the angel said, for he shall save his people from their sins. Colossians 1, 12 to 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness for sin. That's from his blood. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses have a field day with that, trying to prove that Jesus Christ was a creature and that he was born. They rid us about him. That's why they don't believe that Christ is divine. They say, the firstborn of every creature. I stop them there and I tell them to look at that firstborn. Do you mean born first of every creature? Then they are puzzled, because obviously Christ was not born first of every creature. He was not born as a creature until Mary gave birth. And before him, there were millions of creatures born. And Cain was the firstborn of the born first of every creature. So I said, so do you mean born first when you read firstborn? They said, no. Then what do you mean? Well, they don't know once you dig behind the word. But I know that's why I'm standing up here teaching you. Everybody's got his business. And my business is unlocking the scriptures. And don't be mad with me for being good at it. Look, after 51 years of preaching, if the Holy Ghost hadn't got you by then, you hopeless. Did you hear what I said? So there's no need of me standing up here trying to appear humble by saying, I don't understand what this says. If I said that, I'd be a liar. I know what it means. And if I didn't know it, I would have no reason to ask you to come to listen to me. All right, now that I got the cobwebs out of your brain, let me tell you what it means. I have authority as a Bible teacher. And I didn't get it from any man. All right, but this firstborn of every creature means something. But it can't mean but one of two things. Either Christ was born first as a creature, and we know that's wrong, because Christ was born after Cain. Yeah. So if it doesn't mean born first, then what does it mean firstborn? That means number one. of all that were born. Number one, first, Alabama last year as a football team was number one. The preeminent football team in the nation. Christ is the preeminent being that ever experienced birth on the planet. He's number one. He's number one. He's number one. I can't even get a cheer for him. He's number one. He's number one. And whenever I want to talk about him, I stick that one finger up. Number one. And every time he saves a sinner, he's made a touchdown. Yeah. Y'all excuse me, but I can't talk about him without getting like I am. So I'll get dignified again. And I'll try to act like you want me to act, but I don't guarantee anything. In 2 Corinthians, what did I say? The 5th chapter and the 19th verse, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, we preachers, the word of reconciliation. That's what a preacher's for, to preach, be ye reconciled to God. And he's made me a minister of reconciliation. He made me a minister. And then in Romans 3:23-26, I read these words. If you don't know what I'm doing, I'm identifying the Savior. When you talk about how to be saved, there's got to be a lifeguard out here pulling people out of sin's waters. And I came to tell you who he is. Romans 3, beginning with 23. For all have sinned, which means everybody needs to be pulled out of the water. Are you listening to me? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the good news. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, meaning a solution by substitution. That's what they tell preachers in the seminary when they're teaching them how to preach. The word propitiation means solution by substitution, meaning that Christ would take my place, bear my sins, so that I don't have to bear them. Wait a minute, more than that. And that he would assume responsibility for every sin that I confess and repent of and fight to overcome. Did you hear that proposition? When you get there, Christ becomes your propitiation. And I maybe ought to stop and tell you that it's too good to believe, which is why it's so hard to believe, that he justifies before he qualifies. He accepts us before we are acceptable. He declares us perfect in him long before perfection is evident in us. Or why do you sing just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me? Wait a minute, two things, not one. but that thy blood was shed for me, number one, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, here I am.
And Jesus says that if your coming is with faith, and if your coming is repentance, and if your coming is a genuine appetite for right living, that's how you feel, then get up out of your seat. I don't mean for you to do it now. I'm just telling you what Jesus is saying. Then get up out of your seat and come to the altar. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. And it's not based on any good thing you did. It's based on faith in him as the propitiation, the substitutionary solution. If you can believe that whatever's wrong with you, he can handle, then come out. That's what Jesus said. Good news. And that old thief on the cross did that. When they crucified Jesus, at first, both of those thieves made fun of him. You need to read your Bible. They were both making fun of him. But one of them made the mistake of looking at him too hard. And the Bible says that by beholding, we become changed. If you don't want to follow Jesus, you better stay out of this room. Because when you come in here, I'm going to talk about him, and I'm going to gossip about him, and I'm going to spread stories on him. And you know, it's a tribute to you that you came in here. It says that you're hungry, and that you thirst for righteousness. You could have stayed home and hungered and thirsted for TV or something else crazy. But you walked in here to hear a man with no gimmicks, but only with a Bible, trying to say to you that you can do better. You can be better. And he can help you. But the precious word is that you don't have to qualify to get to him. Don't have to have any money. Don't have to have a perfect record to get to him. He said, I came to save sinners. And the righteous folk got mad with him. Said, he's down there eating with publicans and sinners. I didn't say Republicans. That's another bunch. But he's down there eating with publicans and sinners, as if he would get as if the detergent can get contaminated by the filthy cloth. What's the detergent for? Dirt. I don't want anybody to walk out of here thinking he's outside of the boundaries of the love of God. You're not outside the scope of the love of God. The worse you are, the better he likes it when you become his patient. You didn't know he said that, did you? He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. You got an impossible case out here, bring him to me. Even now, to prove that he could do it, he even walked up to a tomb and said, he slowed down to be sure his buddy was really dead. And the folks said, look, by now he stinks. He said, that's what I want. Let's go. He said, I didn't come here to deal with y'all. I'm looking for a bad case. I won't fool with you good people. They already got y'all. They say, show me an impossible case. And they led him to the tomb.
And nobody believed. Nobody. Nobody. Roll back stone! They moved it. And he cried out, "What is your name? I don't know your name, but put your name in this man's place. Lazarus! Come!" Now you're back to my text. "Come unto me. Lazarus! Come here!" And I can hear some old wag saying, "What's it? Don't he know Lazarus can't hear?" You see, everybody knows what's wrong with you. So when the Lord goes to, "Oh, what's the Lord doing with her? Don't he know what she did?" Yeah, he knows what you did too. Did you hear what it said? Oh, he said, "Lazarus, come here." And a dead man heard that voice. And I'm not surprised, because at the second coming of Christ, that voice is going to sound again. Now, somebody said that if he hadn't said, "Lazarus, come forth," that everybody would have jumped up. And the Lord couldn't have that. Because in this book, we read about a scheduled resurrection. So he had to limit it to Lazarus, so that in the end of the world, when he did that thing again, all over this world. Amen, amen. Now let me tell you something quickly here. I didn't mean to be preaching this early, but we preachers are not in control of ourselves. And sometimes you see us shout at you, "Why is he shouting?" The spirit within me is doing that. I'm just opening my mouth. That's all, boy. You don't understand that either. Now there were three. That's all right. There were three questions asked. Lord told me just come in, say it. If they believe it, okay. If they don't believe it, you did what I told you to do. All right, three questions. What must I do to be saved? You read it three times in the Bible. In Matthew 19:16-19, in Acts 2:27-28, and in Acts 2:37-38, and then there's another one in Acts. Well, let's take this one. Matthew 19:16. Is that what I gave you? Is that what I gave you? And did I give you Acts 2:37-38? And the other one is in John 3:4. That's the one. And that's the one we're going to start with. Jesus talking to Nicodemus. In verse 4, Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he is old?" That's the sinful question. It's the same question. Christ had told him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And Nick said, "How can a man be born when he is old?" In other words, what can I do? I'm already old. What can I do to get in on this birth? That was the question. Jesus answered in John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This talks about the ability of God to respond to the faith-filled prayer. Don't get down there praying, wondering if, and hoping that. That's not prayer, honey. That's what we call an anemic presentation. That's the way you talk to me. You don't have to mean it. "Oh, you look so young." I know you're lying, but thank you. Well, when you come to Jesus, don't go there playing games. You got to believe in him. And the word, what does it mean to believe in somebody? You got to believe that they can come through. You go downtown, the banker said, "Come on down, I'll make that loan." Why did you go down there? Because you believed in him. and then he made the loan, then you doubly believed in him. Is that right? Yeah, sure, that's right. Now, when you get on your knees and you really want to get rid of something, settle the question of faith. And this is the way to do it. Open your Bible, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I've had hundreds of people to ask me, look, I know it takes faith, but how do you get faith when you've lost faith in everything and everybody? Oh, easy. I say, you can grow faith like you grow grass. Romans chapter 10 says, faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. So you want to grow some faith? Go where somebody's reading the Word. Right. Right. The people that come in here night after night and hear me reading, you don't know how deeply you are being influenced by the Word. It is building faith in spiritual things. Every night you come in here, your appetite for spiritual things grows. And you say, I'm coming back out there Sunday night. Why'd you set up? Because the meal you got tonight set you up for tomorrow night. You said, good night, that's good food. And it's good for me. I'm going back. I know it. It's a natural phenomenon. Jehovah promised that. Faith cometh by hearing. Stay away, don't hear, don't believe. And people who stay away from church are the weakest people in the world. You go by and say, how you doing? Oh, tolerable. Oh, come on, you've been a saint a long time. How is it between you and us? Well, it's an uphill journey. Well, you want some strength to get uphill? Come to church. Listen to the Word. People stay away from church for all kinds of trivial things. Well, they got some hypocrites in there. Well, wait, man. The devil used to be in heaven. Is that why you're not going? Yeah. The devil used to be in heaven. And a nut like you, you know what you'd say? Well, I don't want to be up here if you've been up there with the devil. I don't want to be up here. They got hypocrites up here. All right, where you open the gate, St. Peter. Now, let him out. And we give you a free fall. May the Lord help you. How do you get faith? Open the Bible in your home. You're spending too much time in front of the box and too little time in front of the book. That's why your faith is weak. People that read the Bible have strong faith. And they believe like Job. In the last chapter of the book of Job, when Job had gone through all his troubles and still hadn't lost confidence in God, the one thing he said was, I believe you can do everything. Wait a minute, honey. Your faith has got to get to that point that you believe that God can do anything. Right. Well, now, let me give you an example. On the way home last Thursday, my transmission quit on Highway 65 with my wife in the car. And that has been my ultimate nightmare, that I'd get hung up on a highway and there she is and she can't walk around. No way to move. And the sun was hot, belting down at 100 and some degrees. And the transmission quit. And I pressed down on that, the accelerator, and all I got was engine. And the car, free coasting. I knew I had a problem. Now, if I had not been a man of faith, I would have just pulled over and stopped the car and given up. But knowing the God that I serve, and that no problem I have is too small or too trivial. Are you listening to me? I said, Celia, she didn't know what was going on. I said, transmission's out. And we were at the Tennessee River Bridge right out of Huntsville, Paul. You know where you're coming in there. I'm there, and I don't want to stop on the bridge. So I said, Lord, grab this thing and get me up top of that bridge so I can coast off of it. And the thing grabbed. And I got up top of the bridge and coasted on off. Then I got kind of bold. Now, honey, the transmission is gone. I'm telling you, it's gone. Got to the bottom of the bridge, car starts slowing down. I said, now, Lord, I don't know how far I got to walk to get somebody, to get some help. Get me to the 565 cutoff to Huntsville, Alabama. Thing grabbed, put me up to the cutoff, and went out again. And I coasted on down on 565. Then I really got bold. I said, Lord? You see that underpass there? Now, imagine... If you don't believe me, ask my wife. I didn't want to leave her with the sun beating down on that thing, because I got to go for help. I said, see that underpass, Lord. Get me to that underpass so that Celia can sit in the shade. The thing grabbed and gave me a big shove, and I coasted to a stop in the shade under the underpass. I looked up, I started to say something else, but I said, that's enough, Lord. Yeah, but the Lord said, no, it's not. A white man rolled up with a red station wagon, stopped, backed up, and said, what's wrong, Reverend? I said, my transmission's gone. My wife's incapacitated, and I need to get to the lobby of the Holiday Inn down there. He said, let's get her in here. Got her in there. I locked the door, put on the blinkers, and he rolled us to the cool, refreshing, air-conditioned... Wait a minute! Ask the Savior to help you! Comfort, strengthen, and keep you... He is willing to aid you. And by the time I got there and I got out, that white man walked around and hugged me. And then hugged my wife and kissed her. And he said, Reverend, I got a deformed daughter. Pray for her right now. And I put my arm around that brother and prayed for his daughter. Tears in his eyes, he waved goodbye. And, of course, my daughter-in-law picked up my wife, took her home. AAA picked me up and took the car to the shop. By the end of the week, I should be driving my Ford back down here. But I want you to know that no habit is too trivial. And Christ is able. If he can provide air conditioning for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if he can give the lions lockjaw so they don't bite Daniel, let alone eat him up, then what was that little thing you said that you fighting? I don't have time to finish. You give me 15 minutes. bring to bear your faith on the problem. Believe that he is able. He can. Believe that he will. Believe in spite of contrary evidence. You remember that son in class? Believe in the absence of evidence. Now that's something else. My wife isn't supposed to be able to walk at all. I got on and took that leg in my hands, the offending leg. I said, God, give me this leg. Help her to be able to move around the house and do little things. I'll push you out in public, but would you just give her some mobility around the house? She's got it. She can cook my food anytime she gets ready. I push her just to relieve the pressure on the leg. I don't want to be presumptuous. Now that the Lord's given us a movement, have her walking all over the place. Oh, no, we're going to preserve this victory. Sit down in this chair, let me push you, girl. And when you see me pushing her and smiling, you say, well, what's she smiling about? Well, I tell you, that woman took care of me for 50 years. Why can't I take care of her the rest of the way? And I got further news for you. She's still taking care of me. And how ain't none of your business. All right, shut up so I can finish. Y'all ought to know we got a meeting out here. So then, come on, I gotta close. I told you 9:30 and 9:30 it is. Faith, you come to him in faith. Christ has a weakness for faith. You want to come up on him and hit him where he can't tell you no? Just believe him. Believe in him, believe on him, and believe him. Those are three separate things. Now, quickly, in Acts 2:38, the word was repent. That's another word. That word means allow Christ to change one's attitude toward his sins. In that, I used to love it, but oh God, perform major surgery on my brain. So that what I couldn't do without, it now makes me sick to think about it. Now, wait a minute. Don't he performs operations like that. That word repentance means that. Create in me a hatred for the sin I love. Confess to him. You love it. But I know it's destroying me, and I gotta get rid of it. Oh my God. Take out of me the appetite for the thing, so that I won't just stop doing it, I'll stop wanting to. Mama looked out the window, saw a little boy, brand new, clean clothes, wallowing in the mud, called him in, pulled down a belt, said, boy, I'll clean you up, but then if you go back out there and come in here like that, I'm going to beat you up. And said, why in the world don't you stay out of that mud? The boy looked at her petulantly and said, I don't want to. He said, well, why don't you want to? And waved the belt. He looked at her defiantly and said, because I don't want to. Well, now, when you come to God, honey, you got to want to. even when you don't want to. You see what I mean? You may not, see, the old appetite may still be there, but your prayer is, Lord, take away my bent to sinning, turn my darkness into day. You've been singing that for 25 years. And what you're really asking him is, take away that appetite I got for this thing. Take away that appetite. Oh, my God. I don't want to be conformed. I want to be transformed. I don't want to be a Hollywood actor sitting up in church. I want to be a genuine performer. I've always said that most actors are not in Hollywood. They're in church. What I mean by that is, we have not explored the grace of God to the level of appetite change. I don't come to church so that I'll have a good name. I don't come for the society or the fellowship. I come in here because I want to come in here. And how amiable are thy tabernacles, O God? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You see, repentance changes my attitude. And I don't stay in church because I'm scared to go to hell. If that's all you got, you going to hell. And I don't stay in church because I want to go to heaven. If that's all you got, you ain't going to heaven. And there ain't no purgatory, so we won't even discuss that. What I'm saying to you is, you come to church because you love to come to meet Jesus there, where two or three are gathered in my name. I'm coming. And I don't call up and ask, is the pastor preaching? They say, no, the local elder. Well, I'll sleep in. Honey, you don't have it yet. You walk in here motivated by an invisible third person known as the Holy Ghost and the love of God. Romans 5:5 is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that is given unto us. That's all right. Let me tell you what I would have told you. I would have told you that, yes, I've got to answer that question. How do you know when you're saved? How you know? That's simple. 1 John 2:1-4 tells you that. Would you like to look at it right quick? And I'll let you go. 1 John 2, what did I say? Yes, 1-4. Listen carefully. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate or a lawyer or go-between with the Father, and he's Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is, here's that word again, the propitiation for our sins. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, how do you know when he's yours and you are his? Look at the next verse. Hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. There's only one way, and you know you're saved. And that's when your behavior changes. There's no saved man bending his arm at the liquor bar. Mighty quiet in this house. There's no saved common law couple. Yeah, you hear what I say? Here it is, and it's not in the Old Testament. I wouldn't care if it was, but some of y'all don't like the Old Testament. So I like to read all the stuff in the New. How do you know you're saved? Hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now, the next verse is downright insulting. I'm reluctant to read it because somebody gonna get mad at me as if I wrote it. But I didn't write it. I just read it. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now you can go out of here, the Ten Commandments nailed to the cross. Go and fool yourself. You know there'll be no liars in heaven. No thieves. No men chasers or women chasers. As a matter of fact, the Tenth Commandment says, not going to be anybody there who too old to chase. But he's sitting there singing, if I could, I surely would. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Now you know those commandments are not on the cross. Jesus said, I'll write them in your inward parts. Hebrews the 8th chapter, the 10th verse. And I'll put them in your heart. You know that? And so the tension between law and grace is broken. It's no longer there. I am saved by grace. Get rid of the same son. Saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. And having been saved from sin by grace through faith, I become an obedient child of God. And my obedience is what tells me and the world if I am saved. If you are testifying that you're saved and shouting all over the place, even talking in tongues and running up and down the aisle, and you're still dipping that snuff, the book says you're a liar. You gotta get rid of that liquor. Gotta get rid of that extra woman on the line. Gotta get rid of that nightclub. Gotta quit sitting up late at night looking at HBO. Filling your Christian head with garbage. You're not listening to me out there. Hereby do we know that we know him if we straighten up and live right. And I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about three words. Agreement with God, commitment to his will, and conscientious effort. Now that was the other part of the sermon, and I didn't have time to preach it, but I got scriptures for all of it. Oh yeah. Romans 9:20 says, agree with God. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves to his will. And James 2:14 and then 17-20 says, I had to give you this, says that your faith without works is dead. So if you haven't got some works to go along with your faith and your profession, James said, you know better than the devil. It's in there. It says, let me quote it for you. Thou believest that there is but one God, and thou doest well. But the devils also believe and tremble. It ain't enough to believe. and tremble. Listen to the rest of it. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith, this is verse 20 of James 2, that faith without works is dead, being alone. One step won't take you very far. You've got to keep on walking. One word won't tell folk who you are. You got to keep on talking. One inch won't make you very tall. You got to keep on growing. And just one deed won't do it all. You got to keep on going until you've gone the last mile of the way.
If I walk in the pathway of duty, oh Lord, if I were to close of the day dawn, I shall see the great King of His glory. Oh, Lord, when I've gone the last mile of the way, Lord, yes, sir. When I've gone the last mile of the way, oh Lord, I'm going to rest at the close of the day, Lord. And if I wait for Christ to proclaim a glad story, oh Lord, if I see one of His sheep, Lord, that's gone astray, Lord, show me all His beauty, oh Lord, when I've gone the last mile of the way, Lord, yes sir. door when I'm gone. The way you know, yes, sir.
Have faith in God. Obey His blessed will. Have faith in God. He loves you still. Have faith in God. His word fulfilled. Have faith. Depend in God.